You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 27th, 2021, the FBI is opening a civil rights probe into the death of Andrew Brown Jr., shot by police in North Carolina last week. Sheriff's officers say they were trying to serve an arrest warrant, and he started either fighting and or trying to evade, but desperately trying to drive away. They fired shots. He was hit four times in the right arm, according to the autopsy, a fifth the back of his skull, which is being called by the family a kill shot to the back of the head. Well, you can certainly use that term because the other wounds were non-fatal. But the shot to the back of the head, yes, it was fatal. Now, the question, of course, among many, what happened? Were there violations of police procedure? Were there violations of his civil rights? Did police do things, or sheriff's deputies do everything right, or partly right, or totally wrong? And so the investigation begins. Democrat lawmakers, with all of the problems we have in the nation right now with crime in general, and certainly much of it has been documented as being committed by illegals in the country. And normally we have a program that turns criminal illegal aliens over to ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, for arrest and then deportation. It seems that would be logical, right? In fact, back in January, police in Georgia, Maryland, Massachusetts, North Carolina, South Carolina turned numerous criminal illegal aliens over to ICE agents, some of them wanted on drug trafficking, carrying a firearm without a license, a pretty minor thing, but still a crime, felony embezzlement, child rape, domestic violence. But now Senator Cory Booker and others, they want the Biden Department of Homeland Security Secretary to terminate what they call the 287 agreement. The 287 program allows local law enforcement to sign agreements with ICE to simply turn criminal illegals over to federal agents for arrest and deportation. Why would you want to just stop that? I tell you what, if you're going to do it, then I want to see those same Democrat lawmakers sign up and say, if they need a place to stay, here's my address, send them to my home. You start doing that, then we'll see how fast they go back the other way. In the meantime, John Kerry under fire. In many ways, he is, of course, President Biden's National Security Council Special Climate Envoy. But at one time, he served as Secretary of State under Obama. And then later, as Trump was in office, there are allegations coming out that 200 different times, John Kerry fed sensitive information to Iran. Not just while Trump was in office trying to undermine Trump, but while Secretary of State. Kerry is denying it. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat, Illinois, said, I'm going to stand by John Kerry. We're going to be joined by Fred Flight shortly of the Center for Security Policy. He's got some information you definitely want to hear. In the meantime, the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources ranking member from Wyoming wants the Department of Energy Inspector General to get some answers from the new the Natural Resources Secretary, Energy Secretary, Jennifer Graham. She's apparently been involved with an electric car company, apparently has millions of dollars of stock for that company that just happened to be a business that Biden toured virtually last week, giving them a lot of publicity. CDC now investigating two new cases of a rare severe blood clot, again involving Johnson & Johnson. That means a number of 17 out of 7 million plus given. A new Fox poll finds 1 in 5 registered voters, 1 in 5 plan to skip getting a vaccination. In the meantime, the Centers for Disease Control today issuing new guidance on outdoor masks if you're fully vaccinated, saying if you're fully vaccinated, you don't need the stinking mask. We're going to get in that in more detail in the next segment because some are saying, yes, you do. You still need it. And President Biden, his proposal to increase capital gains taxes for the richest Americans could push their rate at 56.7% taxes. Speaking of someone who might need to pay some taxes, the BLM co-founder, Patrice Cullors, how she's been spending money. It's her money. I guess she can spend it, but depending on how she raised it. But she is spending $26,000 on meetings at a luxury resort in Malibu, California. I'd like to do that. How about you?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I understand that the Biden team wants to be cautious, but caution comes at a price. And that price is that people are saying, well, what's the point of getting vaccinated if not that much changes for me? I think what the Biden administration has been doing is to say, here's what we as a society should do. As in, once we reach a certain level of vaccination in the society, once the infection level decreases, we'll lift restrictions for everyone. But I think they're discounting that many Americans want to know what's in it for me. They don't want to wait until everyone gets to some elusive herd immunity. I think it'll be a lot more effective if we say, once you are fully vaccinated, that's the end of the road for you. And so at that point, you're able to take off your mask outside. You're able to go about enjoying many aspects of pre-pandemic life. I think that is going to be key to overcoming vaccine hesitancy.
I would agree. Those are the words, by the way, of a CNN medical analyst, also serving as an ER physician at one time, Milken Institute School of Public Health, George Washington University, visiting professor, former Baltimore Health Commissioner, a lot of extensive credentials. So she's a CNN analyst on COVID and what we should or shouldn't be doing. Her name, Dr. Leanna Nguyen. So there she was last night. On Anderson Cottonmouth and his program. Cottonmouth, because he's often spewing some poison every time he opens his mouth. I think he wants to be the new host of Jeopardy. That'd fit him. He could just go do that. But she's telling him that we need to get to a point where we realize health care and the way we're having people deal with this COVID thing, that we've got to get to a point where we recognize for them that they want to know in the end, what's in it for me? And how far am I going to have to be restricted? How much longer am I going to put up with this stuff? If you haven't asked that question yourself, have you not heard your friends, family, and others ask the same? And I'll bet money you have as well. And it's not just, quote, inconvenience of wearing a mask. It's not just, quote, restrictions that you think are pretty stupid sometimes, because you just go across a river and things are entirely different. Does COVID not know they can't cross a river? I mean, it's like some of these barriers they put up in various stores you go to, like a grocery store. You know, there's a barrier between you and the clerk now, but there's a place where you slide your card, your money over, and they give you receipts or cash back. So you're all touching that. But now they're saying, well, don't worry about touch. That's not a big deal anymore. I have to tell you, I'm wondering if they're saying that because they realize everybody's touching something at some point. But do you think COVID does not know how to go over the top of that plexiglass or go around or just hover waiting for you to come by? Reminds me of my granddad in East Texas. Every summer I'd spend time with him, and we were working cattle out of the thickets of East Texas. And I know I was more trouble than I was worth in the beginning, but I became a pretty good cowhand. But when you'd come in after being in the thickets of East Texas, I would guarantee you had at least one tick on you, and probably more than that. Some of them getting to what would you call the nether regions of the body, or areas that you didn't want them, and you certainly don't want to yank them out and leave the head in. My grandmother, every time would come in, she said, the tub's ready for you. And by that, she meant she had filled it with water and turpentine. And I was supposed to get in that tub and stay there for a while, and after a while, the ticks would float to the top, give it up. If you had to do something like that all the time, once you begin to say, well, maybe I just won't go in the woods anymore. So if we're going to have to live like this, some are saying, I'm not going to. I'm fed up. And in fact, she got into the question itself of outdoor mask. The CDC today did issue some new guidelines. But last night on the program AC360 with Anderson Cottonmouth, Dr. Liana Nguyen made this statement.
Frankly, outdoor mask mandates should just go, regardless of whether you're vaccinated. There are a lot of locales and states that still have blanket mask mandates. So even if you live in a suburban area or rural area where you don't see that many people, there's still mask mandates in place. That does not make any sense. So I actually think outdoor mask mandates can go.
Yeah, they can go. Anderson Cooper didn't really like that remark, and I'll tell you how he tried to get her to change it in a moment. But before I do, I want to share something with you. Today, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issuing new guidance on outdoor masks in particular, saying that fully vaccinated people can now unmask at small outdoor gatherings or when dining outside with friends from multiple households. CDC is telling unvaccinated people that they still need to wear a mask at such gatherings. But again, they're saying, the CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, stated if you're fully vaccinated and want to attend a small outdoor gathering with people who are vaccinated, unvaccinated either, or dine in an outdoor restaurant, friends, multiple households, the science shows if you are vaccinated, you can do so safely unmasked. So when are we going to have stores putting up a sign saying no mask required? Or when is a state actually going to do it? Texas has, Florida has, others. Now, of course, they're basing that upon if you got a vaccination. Well, there's some new numbers coming in on the belief of getting a vaccination. And I'll go through that in a moment. But I want to point out, as the CDC was making that statement, President Joe Biden showed up outside, saying the CDC has now said we can walk around without the mask if it's outside. But last night on AC360, Anderson Cottonmouth wanted to hear nothing about that. He said, you can almost hear it as he started to challenge the doctor. He's challenging the doctor, their own analyst. I mean, you can almost hear the frustration in his voice that you got to tell people they got to stay masked up. You cannot ease that restriction. You got to keep them under your thumb. So you heard what the doctor said. She said, as frankly, outdoor mask mandates should just go regardless of whether you're vaccinated. So now let's listen to Anderson Cottonmouth as he begins to challenge and try to get her to change her response. Listen.
So, I mean, is there, I mean, it's interesting to me that you say if wearing a mask outdoors, that there's not much point. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying. Is that, I mean, what about being close to somebody, you know, walking down the street? Isn't that a risk if they haven't been vaccinated? And even if you've been vaccinated, I mean, is it, what's the percentage of people who are vaccinated who may get it but just get a really mild case? But even now, mild cases, aren't you seeing that down the road they can have other effects?
I think the key at this point, Anderson, is that we have to think about reducing risk, not eliminating risk, because we're just not going to be able to live like that. We are seeing major portions of this country who are not yet vaccinated, who are already returning to doing everything they're doing pre-pandemic, because our guidance, the public health guidance, is so disconnected from their everyday reality.
Right. The doctor took the diplomatic approach. You heard Anderson Cotrett say, well, you know, this, you know, so, and what she should have said, you're an idiot. I just told you. And I'm the doctor. You want to believe the science? I'm the doctor, and I'm telling you, you don't need the mask, even if you're not vaccinated, if you're outdoors. But it's not enough for Cooper and the rest of that group and all those who want to keep restrictions on. And then today the CDC says, yes, we say you don't need a mask if you're outdoors, if you're vaccinated. The CNN analyst, Dr. Lena Nguyen, said, even if you're not vaccinated, you don't need the mask. And she's talking about how folks have just been kind of burned out over all this, and we got to deal with where they are with their realistic lives. I'll let you hear from her in more detail in a moment. But there's an op-ed in USA Today by the co-founder and former CEO of Angie's List and the co-founder of Make My Move, talking about how his company connects remote workers with communities that want to attract new residents. And they're dealing with the fact that the coronavirus pandemic has kept a lot of people locked in their homes for months, and it turns out to have inspired a new wave of domestic migration as cities across the country offer incentives to remote workers, ranging from cash to free recreational opportunities. So in his op-ed, he said this talent-driven economic development is increasingly popular. He said, basically, like in the Midwest and Northeast, where demographic forces are causing serious workforce problems, there's a big increase and a focus on talent. But unfortunately, he adds, no one really has the foggiest idea how best to get those people to come to work and make them happy and safe at the same time. But he's recognizing these communities have been decimated by businesses closed and people losing their jobs. They're going to still need workers when they try to restart. There's a new Fox News poll out. This survey says that, and again, Fox News says that while 7 in 10 voters have either already received a vaccine, that'd be 58%, or plan to get it, 13%, more than 1 in 5 are still not scheduling their inoculation, 22%. 22%. 1 in 5, don't plan to do it. And if it hadn't been for me promising my daughters that I would do it, I wouldn't have. I've got my second shot today, later today. If it doesn't go well for me, it's been nice knowing you. I appreciate you having me as your host. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Quentin, how you doing in there? You ready to do the program starting tomorrow? Oh, yeah, you're ready. If I told Quentin we're holding pick up basketball game, he's in. I mean, and they tell me to get off the court. Now, I understand why. I have no ability at all. But you may be tested on this tomorrow. We'll see. But 1 in 5 not wanting it. And you know how the breakout of this survey goes? Republican women, 43%. Nope. Those who are very conservative, 41%. Evangelicals, 32%, don't want it. Whites without a college degree, 28%. Rural voters, 26% of them don't want it. Millennials, 26% of them don't. And when you're asking why, would some say, well, it was rushed. We don't know if it's that safe. Skepticism. And, of course, the cases seem to be going down and the numbers are getting better. Herd immunity. Why do I need to bother it now? So when they ask, are you concerned about coronavirus spreading? In this Fox News poll, 71%. Say no, 71% believe that they are concerned about it, but 27% not concerned. And 8 in 10 believe it's actually under control already. So again, back to this interview with Anderson Cottonmouth last night with Dr. Leanna Wynn, and she makes the point that all of us are ready to do, and that is be done with it. Listen to her, please.
Part of public health is understanding where people are and meeting them there. I think we can tell people, here are all these activities that once were high risk, get vaccinated, they are now lower risk. But once you get vaccinated, go and do things. We encourage you to do things like travel. We want you to do it safely, but please go see your friends and family. I think that kind of message will have a lot more resonance than, here are all the things you can't do, even if you're fully vaccinated.
Yeah, I think we're there for many people. For some, it might hit harder, obviously. For some, nothing. And if you've lost a loved one or you yourself are suffering, especially if you have some issues that make your health a little bit more vulnerable, it's all understandable. Nobody should be judging. This is what you have to do for yourself. But as a nation and for the world, we got to begin to look forward. Looking forward, there's a... another survey out when it comes to, do you believe you need a valid ID to vote? Interesting numbers. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Riddle me this. Which politician do you think is the most unpopular politician? Think about it. I'll come back to that in a moment. There's a new survey out by Fox News that says it was conducted along with Fox and Beacon Research and Shaw Company. About voter ID, do you need a valid ID and citizenship to be voting? A supermajority, 77%, said yes, there should be a valid form of state or federally issued photo ID to prove U.S. citizenship in order to vote. Only 19% are against it. Why would 19% be against you being an American citizen and prove you're an American citizen to be voting and against a photo ID? And that same 19%, do they go anywhere where they don't have to show an ID at any point? I'll bet not. Well, of course, if you break it out on the political lines, this survey found that 95% of Republicans support a valid ID to vote. Now, that raises a question. What's with these other 5% of Republicans? It also shows 76% of independents believe you need a valid ID. And Democrats, 60% of the Democrats believe you should have a valid ID. I guess those Democrats must be racist. Oh, by the way, to ask the question, what are their top three concerns coming up? 78% extremely or very concerned about the economy. 74% extremely or very concerned about gun laws. 73% extremely or very concerned about health care. Well, what about the border, illegals? 75% see the border situation as, quote, a crisis or a major problem. 75%, only 23% say it's just a minor thing or not a problem at all. They don't live on the border. They don't have people traipsing across their land, but they may have them bussed in by the Homeland Security Secretary Division under Biden at this point, so that might change pretty soon. I told you previously in the earlier hour that the new 2020 U.S. Census shows Americans moving south and west, and it's going to shake up congressional seats in several states. Texas is going to gain two House seats. Other red states, Florida, Montana, North Carolina, will be getting some. Blue states generally losing, Illinois, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Now, against that backdrop, what's going to happen in the upcoming election? Well, we may see some of that action come to fruition in 2022 and certainly in 2024. A National Republican Congressional Committee, they made a survey study in April. And it's their belief, and again, this is a National Republican Congressional Committee. If they're lying, they're lying to themselves. But they say they believe that the Republicans are certainly poised to take back the House in the upcoming midterm elections. Hallelujah. Which brings me to the question I began this segment with. Who do you think is the most unpopular politician in the nation? According to this same group, it's a National Republican Congressional Committee survey. Nancy Pelosi, she wins or loses, depending on how you look at it. The most unpopular politician, 41% just don't like her. And that's just beginning. And many of them want to see her out, and maybe that's why come 2022, they're going to put an end to that control in the House as well. Coming up, John Kerry, did he sell out our nation? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Yesterday I told you a story was breaking, and it seemed to be buried even at that, but a story that was going to definitely have legs, and in the business we mean it's going to run a long time because there's a lot of questions about it, and that was the New York Times reporting that former Secretary of State John Kerry gave Iran Israeli intel on attacks in Syria at least 200 times. Well, for one thing, the New York Times buried it about 21 paragraphs into the story. I mean, stupid, not good news sense whatsoever. But the fact that John Kerry was doing that, according to this allegation, Fred Flights is, of course, the president of the Center for Security Policy. He's also served previously national security jobs with the CIA, the DIA, Department of State, House Intel Committee, and also just put an opinion piece in for Fox News. Fred, glad to have you on board, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
So first of all, when this story surfaced yesterday, were you surprised? Did it ring any bells and say that explains something or what?
I'm afraid it was all too believable, given the incompetence we've seen by the Obama administration and John Kerry in particular. He made so many bad concessions to the Iranians during the nuclear deal, and we know he was actively meeting with Iranians during the Trump administration to undermine President Trump's Iran policy. It's just the type of careless remark I just find very believable that Kerry would make.
Before we go any farther, you mentioned, of course, that he was meeting with Iran while Trump was in office. We had been told repeatedly that the Logan Act was nothing, but suddenly when it involved a member of the Trump staff, General Flynn, it was a prosecutable offense. Where's the Logan Act reference, Kerry? Just on that, before we even get into details of what was happening, was he representing the U.S. or something in trying to undermine the Trump administration? That would be treason?
It's a great point. The Logan Act, which was passed in the 1700s, bars private citizens from conducting their own foreign policy for the United States. And they claim that General Flynn did that, which is ridiculous. He was an incoming national security advisor when he spoke to the Russian ambassador. Kerry clearly violated it. But this law hasn't been used in over 150 years, and no one's been prosecuted under it. So, I mean, I think it's certainly fair game to say Kerry violated it, because he did. But, you know, I just think that the claims he violated it are still absurd, because I think that the law is moribund.
Well, the bigger issue, of course, is the fact that if he, according to some of the audio tape released, being documented by an Iranian foreign minister speaking candidly with the Revolutionary Guard, saying that basically we got information more than 200 times from John Kerry about Israel's planned attacks on our interest in Syria, jeopardizing Israel, helping Iran, and giving that kind of intel. What was in play?
Well, I mean, Kerry apparently leaked sensitive information that wasn't just ours, what we got from the Israelis, that probably put the lives of Israeli soldiers and sources at risk.
Yes.
And by doing so, you know, the Israelis already don't trust this administration, and they're not going to cooperate with us. And frankly, that's dangerous. Like, one of us may decide to launch a military strike or do something in the region, and there's a risk of some type of accidental military incident between us and Israel if we're not cooperating.
Your article that you put up for Fox News Opinion, just published, by the way, folks, I'd already booked Fred for today, and he was doing some of this yesterday. I didn't get a chance to see. I know you're on One America News and some other sources as well. Your article titled, "Kerry Iran Allegations, Biden Must Fire His Climate Czar If Reports Are True." Then I say, somebody's got to be going after him on some criminal treasonous charges. My view, your thought.
Well, I'm doing two great programs today. Your show, Larry, and I'm doing Fox News at night at 11:30 Central Time.
All right.
I'll be discussing this same topic. Well, I mean, the issue here that no one's talking about is, where did Kerry get this information?
Right.
Now, if he was Secretary of State, we know where he got it. But if he wasn't, you know, as a former Secretary of State, he kept his security clearances. And you may remember when President Trump was trying to pull clearances from John Brennan,
right,
and other former Obama officials who we thought weren't trustworthy enough to have these clearances.
Susan Rice, James Comey.
Susan Rice. Well, this is a textbook reason for why Trump was absolutely right.
Kerry, of course, says not true. That's pretty much it. Not true. It didn't happen.
Well, Kerry has two choices. He can either resign, or he can try to discredit the story. There's no middle ground. If there's any question that this is right, he has lost all credibility, and you know, he shouldn't be remaining in office. And you can just see the Biden administration staffers scrambling today to try to find a way to explain this. Because why would the Iranian foreign minister lie about this to another Iranian?
And see, that's the point. I mean, Kerry can make his statement like that, but if there is an audio tape of the Iranian foreign minister, Zarif, talking to the Iran Revolutionary Guard, which is the Iran's armed forces, also a U.S.-designated terrorist organization, if he's talking to them like that, why would he make up something like that? He could have said we're getting intel from the U.S. about it or whatever, but he specifically names at that point former Secretary of State John Kerry.
It everything else in that report sounded plausible, and I'm afraid, I regret to say, it's plausible that Kerry might have made this remark, and it was so significant because, I mean, everybody assumes that it was carrying covert operations, but 200 of them in Syria, that would have been very important information for the Iranians to have.
I also think that any time you start giving intel out like that, again, the allegation that he did, he says otherwise, but you're not just going to make it difficult for Israeli troops. You know, we've got U.S. forces in the region, and at some point they might come into play or be drawn into play because of something like this. There's nothing beneficial for our country. What would be the reasoning if it went down as we're being told?
Well, let me first say, you're exactly right about that point. Israel has great intelligence services, and we need access to those services to protect our troops. Israelis just aren't going to share information with us. And what Kerry's motivation or reasoning is, I have to say, Larry, I just think he's incompetent. I just don't think he knows what he's doing. He's not a serious man when it comes to foreign policy or in general politics. This is inexplicable. And I mean, everybody knows you don't reveal highly classified information to a U.S. enemy. There's no explanation for it.
Well, you nailed something else there, Fred, in the sense that you said we rely on a lot of Israeli intel ourselves, but why would they trust this administration and this government going forward with anything? I wouldn't.
Well, I wrote in my story about how when the defense secretary was flying to Israel a couple of weeks ago, the Israelis conducted this act of sabotage
right
against a huge Iranian nuclear site. They didn't give the Biden administration advance notice. They didn't even wait for the secretary to land before they committed this act of sabotage. This was an enormous snub, and it showed that the Israelis have no trust whatsoever in this administration because they know what would have happened. Biden people would leak it to have stopped this attack.
I'm looking at, again, you're listening to Fred Flights, president of the Center for Security Policy, CEO, also previously with the CIA, DIA, Department of State, House Intel. You point out in here that Republican congressmen at every opportunity, and especially in the 2022 election, should make an issue of these reports over and over again. And moreover, if a Republican wins back the White House in 2024, that Republican must be prepared to cancel security clearances of most, if not all, Biden officials.
And the reason for that is the next Republican president, and I hope we have one starting January 2025, has to assume that these former Biden officials will do what Kerry did. They will work to undermine the next Republican president's foreign policy using classified information. That's why they shouldn't have any access to it once they lose government, leave government.
And how does this also play against the Abraham Accords that were accomplished under the Trump administration, which I still say any one of those would qualify for a Nobel Peace Prize, but because it's Trump, actually his son-in-law Jared Kushner carrying it out, but under the Trump administration, should have been worthy of a Nobel Peace Prize, but because it's him, they said, nah, it's not that big of a deal. How is this intel information breaking like this going to affect those states and those accords?
Well, I think that this Iran-centric foreign policy and the hostility towards Israel could make it more difficult for Israel to strike more of these agreements. And I might add that it looks like the Biden administration is trying to airbrush the whole Abraham Accords thing from history. They won't even use the term at State Department press conferences. They're so hostile to President Trump. They won't give him credit for anything he did. And I think that this their policies toward the Palestinians and towards the Iranians, it's going to move the peace process in the Middle East in the wrong direction. I'm very concerned about it.
One other in the last 30 seconds, Kerry again is denying it. You quote Senator Dan Sullivan, Republican of Arkansas, said if it's true, Kerry should resign or be fired by the president. So have you seen anything from the White House and Biden regarding this?
I think the White House and their staff are doing everything they can to discredit this. They're peddling silly explanations like everybody knew about these covert actions, which is not true. And, you know, the press is so in the tank for Biden, I think they'll probably get away with it.
Well, I hope not. Fred, thank you as always for your time. I'm glad I made one of your two top lists today. Thank you.
Fred, happy to be here. Thank you.
You bet. Fred Flights. Stand by for James Carville's remarks.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I just sent off an email to Fred Flights, we just had on, Director of Center for Security Policy. I wanted to know. That was a very nice comment he threw in there, but he had two major programs to do today, one Fox News Tonight and this program, Larry Connors USA. I'm very honored by that. I am, because the man has a lot of demands on his time. Believe me, everybody wants Fred Flights if they can get him. So it's not always easy sometimes, and that's understandable. But obviously a wealth of information, and his background tells you everything. So James Carville did an interview on the state of Democratic politics. Specifically, he was being asked about his thoughts on President Joe Biden's first 100 days in office. I was searching. I thought, surely there's a piece of audio on this. Well, apparently not. Apparently it's done by a reporter. I'm trying to see who this was, but what the source is. I think it was a Vox publication. And actually, I think I have to give my boots on the ground correspondent, Andrew, in Chicago, give him credit for it, because I think I had overlooked it and he brought it to my attention. So I think I need to thank Andrew for bringing it to my attention. I try to stay on a lot of things, but I have a hard time. I got so much material in front of me. It was a Vox publication. I looked it up. So thanks, Andrew, again, for bringing it to my attention. But I was really looking for audio. So what this means, folks, that as I go through some of his responses, you're going to have to hear my James Carville impression. He's from Louisiana. I'm not poking fun at him. That's just the way he is. He wouldn't have any problem with that any more than me being called a redneck oil-filled trash from West Texas. That's who I am. But James Carville was being asked by this reporter for Vox his opinion on Joe Biden's first 100 days. And he begins by saying, Carville obliged, and then one question in, I love it. This is the way Carville acts and does. I love it. He brushed aside the exercise. He wanted to talk instead why the Democrats might be poised to squander their political advantage against a damaged GOP. See, that's pretty interesting. He doesn't just want to talk about how well Biden has done or not done. He wants to say Democrats are blowing this. Now, James Carville, of course, was the mind behind the Bill Clinton campaign that got him into the White House to begin with. Very sharp political mind. You can't deny that. But the writer, I guess it's Sean Nilling, or maybe Illing, of Vox, said, Carville told me wokeness is a problem with the Democrats, and we all know it. And again, he pointed out, Democrats in power now, but only narrowly defeating Donald Trump, as Carville calls him, a world historical buffoon. Oh, I could just see Carville. He's a world historical buffoon, you know that. But he went on to say about Democrats themselves have a major messaging problem. So like I said, the first question is, what do you make of Biden's first 100 days? And he said, honestly, and I'm not going to do Carville all the way through. You don't have to turn it off. I'm not going to do it all the way through. But he did say, honestly, we're just talking about Biden. It's going to be very difficult to find something to complain about. And to me, his biggest attribute is he's not into faculty lounge politics. Well, what is faculty lounge politics? And here's where James Carville, he is so sharp. And I think, I don't care if you are far, far right, you get the meaning of what he's saying here, and you buy into it. He said, you ever get the sense that people in faculty lounges and fancy colleges use a different language than ordinary people? They come up with a word like Latinx, no one else uses, or they use a phrase like communities of color. Carville continues, said, I don't know anyone who speaks like that. I don't know anyone who lives in a community of color. I know lots of white and black and brown people. They all live in neighborhoods. He said, there's nothing inherently wrong with these phrases, but that's not how people talk. It's not how voters talk. And you're talking one language of the people you want to vote for, you're speaking another. He said, on one hand, it's harmless. In another sense, not so much. And he did continue to say, we have to talk about race. We should talk about racial injustice. But what I'm saying, do it without the jargony language that's unrecognizable to most people, including most black people, by the way, because it signals that you're trying to talk around them. This too cool for school S word, I'll let you fill the word in. It's, you could put chicken in front of it. No, it's not salad. Anyway, you figure it out. He said, this too cool for school doesn't work. We have to stop it. He said, there may be a group in within the Democrat Party that likes it, but it ain't the majority. And then the author said, so you got a problem with wokeness? And Carville said, wokeness is a problem, and everybody knows it is. It's hard to talk to anybody today, and I talk to lots of people in the Democrat Party. They don't say it, but they do want to say it, but they don't say it out loud. They don't say it because they're going to get clobbered or canceled. Boy, is he right about that. Because if they speak out, and he goes on to say, folks like AOC and the others, he said, they start targeting you, they look to cancel you, and pretty soon you're marginal, and then you're out. Strike three. If I find audio of this interview at Carville, I guarantee you we'll get it. We'll do a lot more with it. But I appreciate it. I appreciate you letting me have some fun. And James Carville, thank you for your language and your color. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.